Passage tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to read your word and to gather around it. Please give us understanding, saving us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we open your word tonight, we ask that you'd please give us understanding. We pray that you would give us wisdom then to apply it. And God, we thank you for 2020 and all that that means, all of that that entails. And God, as I look back on 2020, I see an emotional roller coaster for me. And God, the ups and the downs and the all arounds, Lord, all of the things that have happened in our city, in our state, in our country, in our church, in our families, Lord, have all been controlled and allowed by you. And we know that you have taken those things and your goal is to work all of those things together for good and for the glory of God and to make us to be more like Jesus Christ. And so today, tonight, Lord, as we open your word, I simply want to yield myself to you afresh. And I ask that you'd help me to get out of your way. I pray that you would please, God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and allow me to speak those things that you would have me to say that would be a blessing to these that are listening tonight. I pray that you will encourage them, bless their families. I pray that you would meet their needs, Lord, by your strength, by your grace, and all through Christ. And we're thankful for this year and the theme that we've enjoyed through Christ. And Lord, you knew what we were going to go through this year, and you also knew that the only way we were going to make it through this year and make it good and right is through Christ and your strength. And so we praise you for knowing all those things, and we praise you for your grace that makes it all possible. We pray now that you'd bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I want you to read that, just that front part of verse 11 with me again. "Thou wilt show me," and then notice this phrase, "the path of life." Now, every year people sit down with a blank piece of paper, a full cup of coffee, and some great intentions, and they begin to make a list of ways to make themselves better in the coming year. They often will look back at the previous year and try to determine what goals were achieved or not, and try to make some adjustments in order to achieve some form of success toward the endeavored goal for a new year. It may be sometimes if we don't reach a goal in the past year that we carry it over and say, you know, I made it close to that. I didn't quite reach it, so I'm going to keep that goal for this year. And nevertheless, that this is a process that many people do in our society and culture today every year. I truly believe that all of us would benefit from such an exercise to sit down and actually contemplate where we were at the beginning of last year and where we finished. Did we have any goals? Were those goals reached? Did we set aside those goals or did get distracted somewhere along the way? And yet I think we would all benefit from it. Let's face it, when we set a goal for ourselves, that goal determines the path that we take. Now, I want to just go back and remember what our verse says here in Psalm 16:11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so when we set our goal for ourselves, that goal determines the path that we take. If we haven't achieved the desired goal, it is likely because maybe we stopped somewhere along the path. Perhaps at some point we got off the right path and onto a wrong path, or we never got on the right path at all. I know there have been plenty of times where perhaps at the beginning of the year I've set a goal for something specific. Let's say it was weight loss and never even started. Just it was nice to have something down on paper, and it was really just kind of wishful thinking. And I think, unfortunately, that's a lot of what happens spiritually for Christians. We have this, perhaps in our mind's eye, we have this idea that if we just set a goal, that it's going to happen without any effort. If we set a goal to be more loving, it doesn't take any effort. I'll just pray about it and I'll become more loving. If we set out to be more kind, if we set out to be more fruitful as a soul winner, if we set out to read more of our Bible, somehow along the way, at times we can get distracted or never even actually get on the path. Doesn't mean that our intentions are wrong. Our intentions obviously are good and right and pure, but our motivation may be lacking, and several things could get us off the path. Every pilot, either in the air or on the sea, understands that in order to reach your destination, you have to be able to make course adjustments, mid-course adjustments. And without adjusting our heading and making sure we're on the right path, we could inevitably continue to walk in circles and repeat the same fatal errors over and over and over again and expecting somehow that it's going to come out in a different result. And so it's just interesting when the Lord kind of burdened my heart about this morning and I started reading different passages of scriptures, I was actually a little shocked at how many times the Bible mentions the phrase path or paths. I suppose I could have done another search with ways and things like that, or the way. But just the word path itself, and it's interesting not only how many positive, but how many negative things God says about the path that you're on. For instance, in Job 6 and verse 18, the paths of their way are turned aside, they go to nothing and perish. Now, Job is revealing here, or the Holy Spirit is revealing through Job, that there are people who are on a path that leads to nowhere. We used to make a statement in Bible college, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. And sometimes that's the path. Solomon would write about the vanity of a life that's lived just for this earth and how it really is empty. And that path leads to nothing. This particular one talks about the path that leads to nothing and then perishes. Job 8 and verse 13, so are the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. The path that we're on and the path that we choose to take must lead to the right destination. That's everything. Job 24, verse 13, there are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. It's talking about the light. And it's interesting that the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the correlation here is that when God shows us the light, that we decide to take another path altogether. Proverbs 13 and verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Again, God reveals that if you're getting on a path and you're not on the right path, the destination is going to be hindered because of the path that you're on. Proverbs 14, 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So I think you kind of get the idea here. The path that you're on is very, very important. And if the path that you're on is not leading you to the destination that you want, then you've got to be able to make adjustments. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. All of us can benefit from making some course adjustments, especially at the beginning of the year. And with God's help, I'd like to offer a few simple suggestions tonight just to guide you on your way to a better new year by God's grace. So let's just think about this. Regardless of what happened last year, and I think you would still it would still behoove you to take some time and sit down and look at last year, maybe even month by month, and look at your calendar and maybe even your checkbook and kind of relive some of the things that happened in the machinery of 2020 and kind of recall what your spiritual countenance was during that time and your spiritual growth. Now everything that I'm going to talk about tonight is in the spiritual realm, not the physical. So we're not talking about weight gain or loss, and we're not going to talk about cleaning out drawers and, you know, going through the attic or anything like that, though I think those things are necessary at times. But we are going to talk about making some course adjustments so that this year or this coming year spiritually has more fruit than last year. Okay? What would it take for you to have a better year? And I want to challenge you with making some course adjustments tonight. Let's just think about this matter for a minute. If we're going to make some course adjustments, we must start with the destination. And that is everything. Where do I want to go? What is it that I'm living for? So number one in your notes, I want you to write down, contemplate your purpose in life. That's the destination. Number one, contemplate your purpose in life. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. It literally means to make level and straight. Make sure that you're on good ground. Make sure you know where you're going. And that's a simple way of helping us understand this. Okay, what is the purpose in my life? It's so easy to be distracted while you're driving, and it doesn't take much to make a mistake. It also is very easy while you're driving to overlook cars, pedestrians, or even bicycles at times. I know after making many mistakes myself as a driver, it's caused me to be more careful to look more diligently at the road and my surroundings. What am I doing? I'm pondering my path. I'm making sure that everything around me is safe for me to make the turn or is right for me to change the lane. And I want to be careful about that. And I think that's important when we're contemplating our purpose in life. Now, let me just make this statement. People are going to find their purpose in life either in light of society or in light of Scripture. There are really only two sources of why am I living and what is the purpose for my life. As a Christian, I've got to be willing to ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I pursuing what I'm pursuing? What's my purpose for living? What's the end goal of every day, of every month, and the years that make up my life? That, you could say, is your destination. So I've got to determine that at the very beginning. What is the destination of 2021 for you? What is the end goal? At the end of the year, what do you want to have said of the purpose of your life? What's the destination? If you listen to the culture, society, or some movement, you may find a plethora of purposes. On the other hand, if you look to Scripture, you will find only one purpose, and that is to live for the glory of God. Listen to these verses. How plainly God lays it out in the Bible. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now think about that statement. God has created all things, and he created them for one purpose, himself, for his glory. Romans 11 and verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, we're familiar with this in the New Testament, especially in the book of Corinthians, because of what we know who we are through Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if you can determine then that the purpose for your life, the purpose for your living, if God gives you another 365 days in this coming year, and your destination is the glory of God, then you know why it is. It's because you were bought with a price. If you're saved tonight, God redeemed your soul. He saved it. He forgave you of your sin. He cleansed you. He brought you nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, now, here's what I'd like from you. I'd like everything you do to glorify me and to praise me. I'd like everything that you do to be led for my name's sake. I would like you to live in my will. I would like you to live according to my will, God says. And so the destination, biblically speaking, a purpose for our life is to live for the glory of God. As a Christian, struggle in life or conflict often comes from conflicting purposes. You want to live for something, and God wants you to live for something entirely different. Normally, it's our glory. It's for our praise and our honor versus God's glory and God's praise and God's honor. So if we're going to make some course adjustments tonight, I would like to suggest, first of all, that you set your compass, you set your heading, you set your life on a trajectory that before January 1st begins, that you could target December 31st of 2021 to say, you know, Lord, I want to glorify you in every moment, every hour, every day, every week, every month that makes up this coming year, should you tarry and I should be alive. I want to live all of those days for your glory, all right? Now, that would be the destination. So then number two, I must consider the roles of my life in light of that purpose. Now, if I'm going to get, if that's the destination, I've got to make sure that I get on a path that leads me there. My son just flew back a couple days ago to New Jersey. And interestingly enough, if he would have gone to San Francisco International Airport and got on a plane that led to Venezuela, he would not have ended up in New Jersey because the plane wasn't going to New Jersey. And see, that's often what happens. What happens in a Christian's life many times is they start out because of a church service or because of a Bible study or because of spending time in prayer, and they get convicted about the way that they've lived their life. And they say, you know, Lord, I've been selfish and I don't want to live that way anymore. And I see these mistakes that I've made. And if I had been living to glorify you instead of glorifying my own will or my own self, I wouldn't have made that mistake. So, Lord, will you please help me? And our intentions are purified immediately. And our all of our honor and praise and glory we want to give to the Lord. And then something happens between that and the path that we get on. Many times we'll watch a news broadcast or get on the internet or we'll get with a friend or we'll see what other people are doing and we'll choose a path that doesn't lead to God's glory. And that's where the conflict arrives. Then we look at our life and go, why isn't this working? And why doesn't it just feel right? And why am I feeling at odds with what it seems like the church is doing or what other Christians are doing or even what the pastor's saying from the pulpit? And it starts to make conflict within us, all because perhaps we've gotten on the wrong path. Now, sometimes we can lose sight of the real reason for our life, and that simply needs to be adjusted. But giving God glory or reason to be praised is not a general thing. It's something that is very specific. It's not something that you can just spread abroad. For instance, the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now that's pretty specific. If the Bible just said glorify God and didn't mention things like that, we would be like, well, how and in what way? It simply just says to glorify God and to glorify Him. Well, the reality is I need to glorify God in everything. Every Christian must look at their lives according to their roles and then place those roles in the context of the purpose God has given us to live for. For instance, as a Christian, you can have several different roles. And I'm going to prioritize these for you, all right? First of all, what is your role as a Christian, as a child of God? What is your role? That is one of your roles. As a spouse, you have a role as a husband or a wife. Then you have the role of a parent and raising children. You have the role of a boss or an employee. That is your occupational role. What do you do for a living? What's the responsibility you have there? And then as a friend, as a church member, and those are realistically four or five roles that everybody has if they're a grown adult. Now, you understand that every role you have then requires a specific energy, an action, and a responsibility. Now, each role that I have in life is an opportunity then for me to fulfill a higher purpose than one found in myself or one that I can conjure up from society. All right? The question becomes, am I fulfilling my God-given purpose, which is to glorify God in the role arena? Am I fulfilling my God-given purpose to glorify God as a Christian? Just as a Christian, what God requires of me to be His child. Or as a spouse, am I glorifying God as a parent? Is the way that I'm raising my children and guiding them by faith, is that glorifying to God? Does that need to be adjusted? Or as a boss, or perhaps even as an employee, am I glorifying God in all these ways? All of that is the specifics of glorifying God so that He gets the whole glory of my life. The question becomes, am I fulfilling my God-given purpose within each of the roles? Now, perhaps you're in need of making some course adjustments in a role area. Maybe you started off in your marriage and you were on the right path and you've gotten off that path and now your relationship doesn't glorify God. Then you need to make a course adjustment. Lord, what is it that I need to do? How is it where did I go wrong? Your intention is always to please and glorify God, but somehow your roles have become sometimes more of your identity than your purpose. Many times we take and we say, okay, well, my purpose in life was to glorify God, but then because of circumstances, or because of the tempter, because of Satan, or because of some outside influence, we take our roles and we take one of those roles out and we make that the purpose in life. So for some, they would say, you know what, though I know that my number one priority is to glorify God just as His child, and that's the highest honor that I have is to be called a child of the God, I'm going to make my occupational role my priority. And I'm going to make my occupational goal my occupational role, my purpose in life. I'm going to live for being the boss. I'm going to live for the next step. I'm going to live for a career move. I'm going to live for the retirement nugget or the nest. I'm going to live for that identity. And that's where we go wrong. We've taken a role and we've made it a purpose. And God says, that's a sure way not to get to the destination if, in fact, your destination is to glorify Me. And so, we need to make some adjustments in that area. Now, in order for our roles then to bring glory to God, We must rely on God completely. It really shows us at the end of the year, at least me, how dependent I am upon God for everything. And as I think about this matter of taking what God has given to me in a role and then saying, okay, now, Lord, how do I glorify you in this specific role? It reminds me that I'm dependent upon him for direction. In Psalm 19, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I want to know how to glorify God as a spouse, I just need to go to where the light shines and say, now, Lord, this is where you've shined the light. This is the path that you have put for me. Now, Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to take that path. Now, listen, remember this. Our leadoff verse that we said in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, think about this. Does God want me to have a marriage full of joy? Yes. Well, then he's going to show me the path. He's going to show me and give me the direction I need to go and the path I need to walk on in order for that to happen. And that pleases God. When I'm dependent on God for direction, he gives me the direction. And then I take that path that fulfills my purpose in that role. And that you can take that prescription for every single role. So I depend upon God for direction. Let me ask you this. This last year, did you depend on God for direction in your roles? Did you ask God specifically, Lord, how can I glorify you at work? Or am I glorifying you at work? And what adjustments might need to be made for 2021? So the first thing that I've got to do when I look at the roles of my life and set it in the context of the purpose is I've got to depend upon God for direction. Secondly, I need to depend upon him for responsibility. Psalm 25 and verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. What is it that I can do at work? What is it that I can do at home? What is it that I can do with my children? What are my responsibilities as a parent, Lord, that as I fulfill them, I glorify you and God will show you. But it's more than just direction. It's more than just responsibility. Because fulfilling God's purpose for life requires strength and courage. It really, really does. Psalm 17:5 says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now see, for me, this is one of the adjustments that need to be made. Because I can, if I'm not careful, tend to try to do things in my own strength. I can tend to try to do things in my own courage. And if I'm fighting a spiritual battle in a carnal way, I'm going to lose every single time. If I'm not careful to say, Lord, I need you right now. What I need is for you to give me strength and courage because I don't want my footsteps to slip. If I'm on a path, and though it may become a little more arduous than I expected, as I'm going up, if I'm not careful to depend upon God for strength and courage, my foot will most certainly slip. If any of you have ever been on a hike at all, and even if it's inclement weather or non-inclement weather, you can still slip in prime conditions. And so no matter how the terrain may be, no matter what the where the path may lead me, I must depend upon God for my strength. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is the verse that we have this year. And so if you want to make 2021 a better year all around, you've got to be sure that your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. I want to encourage you with that. Write it at the top of your goals list. Lord, this is my destination. I want to glorify you in my life. And then as you pen down the different roles and the responsibilities that you have under each of those roles, then you take them and say, okay, now here's all my responsibilities, but how am I supposed to do that biblically? What does that look like? And you go back to scripture and say, now, Lord, in your word, this is what you said I'm supposed to be like in the home or at work or in the church house or with my Christian brothers and sisters, and let him fill in the blanks and give him all the honor and glory and praise, not in a general way, but in everything that you do. And that's really going to help in a very big way, just getting the list started. But then there's number three. And this is where I think you really gain traction on making the course adjustments. Now, I think all of us probably would agree that even this last year has revealed some things in our life spiritually that could be shored up and that need to be adjusted. And I think this is one that I think would be needful for all of us, especially going into this new year. I don't want to be surprised anymore. Good night. We're in a global situation health-wise. And after finishing the book of Revelation and seeing how it all ends up, I just know God is doing something extraordinary around the world. And I don't want to miss out on an opportunity for Him to use me in this coming year because of what He's done in this past year. And so if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to glorify God in my purpose, and I'm going to make sure that every one of my ways and roles are based on His word, then the only thing left for me to do is, number three, commit to deepen my relationship with Christ. And I want to challenge you to commit to deepen your relationship with Jesus. If there's one thing you could pray about in the next few days, leading even into Sunday and the new year, it is, Lord, I want to be a more committed Christian than I was last year. And if you think about the years of growth and maturity, you know, you can tell when your kids grow up, you can tell when they mature. You can tell when they start getting things. You can tell when they start understanding things that they didn't understand before. Maybe because it didn't pertain to them. They were a child. They simply didn't care or whatever. But when you look at life physically, you can tell when it matures. Well, I would suggest that shouldn't you be able to do that spiritually also? The longer a Christian is saved, shouldn't you be able to tell that that person has a greater relationship with Christ, has matured spiritually? Consider a couple of verses, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. You see, there's something about God teaching and us walking. In Psalm 65 and verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. The life that God has for us on those designated paths as we try to go to the glory of God and try to make that our purpose, the Bible says not only do they drop with fatness, but here in Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, if at God's right hand are His pleasures, and at the right hand of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and if God says, I'm going to crown the year and I'm going to drop down blessings to you as you come to me, then why would I not try to get to Him? How is it then that we can deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ? And I want to challenge you with these four simple truths, and then we'll be done. If your heart for 2021 is to grow, if your heart is to make some course adjustments and glorify God, we could say it this way, glorify God more often than not, or glorify God more often than you did this last year, then let me just encourage you in a few simple ways, all right? If your goal is to deepen your relationship with Christ, letter A, seek His face in prayer. Seek His face in prayer. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I know this, if I'm not acknowledging God in prayer, I'm probably not acknowledging Him in many other ways. I think I'll say that again. If I'm not acknowledging God in prayer, I'm probably not acknowledging Him in many other ways. And that's true for you as well. Prayer signals dependence. It indicates reverence, and it tends always toward obedience. The more you pray about something, the more mindful you are of it. And so seeking God's face is a good way to make sure that He is giving you your purpose. God, I want to have your purpose in my life. And prioritizing your roles accordingly. The Bible speaks of this aspect of our Christian life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Psalm 27 and verse 8, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 1 Chronicles 16, 11, seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. I can't overstate the importance of prayer, and I'll never overstate the need that we have for the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek His face evermore. Secondly, we need to search the Scriptures in order to know God, and not just the stories. If I'm going to commit to deepen my relationship with Christ, then I need to search the Word of God to know God, not just to know the stories about the people in the Bible. Some people make it a big deal and they think, man, I just don't know enough the Bible. I just don't know enough of the stories and all that kind of thing. I think you would be better off knowing God. And I think we would be better Christians if we search the Scriptures in order to know Him rather than putting the importance on the story itself. The main purpose of the Bible is that you would know the Lord as He has revealed Himself. In John 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. These people weren't searching the Scriptures to know God. They were searching the Scriptures for their own benefit. They were searching Scriptures for every other reason except to know God. And that's why Jesus said, look, if you would have really known the Bible, you would have known me. So if you're reading the Bible and you don't feel like you know God or you're growing close to the Lord Jesus Christ, then perhaps you need to reread the Bible in search of someone new. And His name is Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then it's interesting to me that He puts this on the end. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the knowledge that I have for the Lord Jesus Christ is tied to my life bringing glory to Him both now and in the future in glory. So if I'm going to deepen my relationship with the Lord, first of all, I need to seek His face prayerfully. Secondly, I need to search the Scriptures to know him sincerely. And then thirdly, I need to strive to challenge myself spiritually. And I want to challenge you that way. If you want to deepen your relationship with Christ, then strive to challenge yourself spiritually. In Hebrews chapter 12, I found some interesting verses. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, these verses at first glance may not make a lot of sense, but to be honest, they kind of sound like a coach's order to the team. Lift up your hands, strengthen those knees, get those lazy feet right on track. On your mark, get set, go. It's like the writer, who I believe is Paul, is taking advantage of the admonition. He's saying, look, this is what you need to do. Don't let bitterness, don't let the grace of God fail you. Don't fall into sin. You've got to strengthen those knees. You've got to lift up your hands. You've got to get on the right track. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to take the admonition and from the coach of the Holy Spirit of God and say, you know what, Lord, I want to challenge myself. I want to take that as a challenge. Now, the Bible says in Revelation, He says to one church, I think it's the church of Smyrna, strengthen the things that remain. Now, you and I both know that in order to strengthen, you've got to test those things. You've got to prove those things. And maybe it's been a while since you've challenged yourself spiritually. Maybe you could challenge yourself this year by giving out your very first gospel tract or inviting a friend to church. You've never had that goal, and so you've never done it. Maybe you could set a numeric goal for tracts for a week, perhaps. I'm going to hand out 5 tracts this week. 7 days, 5 different tracts, or maybe it's 10 tracts. Maybe it's 25 tracts. Maybe you have a weekly goal of more. I don't know. Maybe it's a tract per occasion. If I go to the store, I want to hand out a tract. If I go to the gas station, I want to hand out a tract. If I'm at the doctor's office and somebody's there and they're not running away from me because they think I have COVID, I'm going to give them a tract. Maybe that's a goal you could challenge yourself by. Maybe this year in 2021, you could say, Lord, by your grace and for your glory, I want to read the Bible through. I just want to read it through. I want to challenge myself, to discipline myself. Or maybe you could say, you know, Lord, what my goal this year is to read the New Testament through 4 or 5 times. Or maybe 2 or 3 times. Whatever it is, you've got to look at it as, you know, Lord, I haven't been challenged. I haven't felt like my goal, like the purpose of my life is to the glory of God. And I haven't felt like my roles or the goals of my life have been taking me to that end. And so it's time to challenge yourself and say, you know, Lord, I want to get out of this box of just existing, so to speak. Maybe you could challenge yourself by setting a note writing goal. You want to write so many notes in a month, or visit so many people, or you want to give to missions so much money in a month. Or maybe you need to set a goal and say, you know, I need to challenge myself that I'm going to tithe every paycheck instead of just most paychecks this year. I don't know what the challenge is. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I know this, I'm not growing if I'm not being challenged. I'm not growing if I'm not being challenged. I'm not going to continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, if I've not put that high calling of God in Christ Jesus out in front of me, if I'm not looking at it as and saying, you know what, what's the path that I need in order to get there? Because after all, I've been bought with a price and I'm supposed to glorify God. Now, the Bible says that God will show you that path, and that at his presence, which is where the path leads to, is fullness of joy. And that being said, should be enough, but oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes we need other people to help us to be provoked unto love and good works. And so I want to throw that out there and say, you know what? If it's been a while, maybe you need to strive to challenge yourself spiritually this year. And I believe those kind of things pay off in a big way. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather to godliness. So strive to challenge yourself spiritually. And then number 4, letter D, struggle to increase your faith. Struggle. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, struggling in the Bible is wrestling. When Jacob wrestled with the Holy Spirit or with God, he was struggling with him. If my faith is going to grow, I've got to wrestle with my fears. I've got to wrestle with the will of God. I don't want to let go of the will of God like Jacob, but I want to wrestle with it. I want to hold on to it because I know there's a blessing at the end of it. And I believe wholeheartedly, when we struggle to increase our faith increases. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That phrase exercise is where we get our word gymnasium pro. Gymnazo is the Greek word, and it has to do with struggling. It has to do with putting our muscles to the test. And faith is that muscle. Faith is that muscle that overcomes the world. The strength that God gives us is based on our faith. And we learned just this last Sunday that an active faith leads to an active Christian life. My faith results in me obeying the Lord. In the context of this passage, it would be my faith results in walking the path that leads to the glory of God. My faith results in not just me being on the right path, but it results in the joy that I have that's in the presence of the Lord and the pleasures that I have that are not temporal, but everlasting. Now, again, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So when you look at 2021, I hope that you'll look at it from the perspective of, man, what is my purpose in life? And if you want to look back, and you'll be able to tell your purpose in life in this last year by the things that you did, by the paths that you took, by the words that you spoke, by the money that you spent, by the activities you were involved in. All of that will show you what your purpose in life for. And I would just say this, if the majority of your year was spent not trying and purposely trying to glorify God, then can I just suggest some course adjustments? And saying, Lord, I want to adjust my life tonight according to your word. I've been around long enough to know that it doesn't matter who you are or what you may do for a living. Everybody needs to ponder the path they're on. Every one of us need to make adjustments in order to make sure they reach the destination. You know, there's a reason. There's always a reason, a divine reason behind what we read in the Bible. And it goes far beyond just the context of where we read it. When you read in Jeremiah chapter 6, you're reading of a prophet of God who's standing before a nation who has turned their back on God. And God's people. Now, when I say a nation turning their back on God, we think of America and all that kind of stuff. Forget that. These are God's people, Jews, Israelites, who've decided to forsake the God of their forefathers, who've decided to forsake the God of their redemption, the God that's promised to send their Messiah, and live for their own ways. They've decided to live for their own glory. They've decided to walk their own paths. Now you have a prophet of God who stands and he preaches and preaches and preaches and preaches and preaches to them. And one of the messages that he's preaching by the inspiration of God goes like this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and then listen, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now think about that for a minute. He says, there's the path that you're on, apparently according to the text, that is a new path. It's not the old path. The old path is a tried and true path. The old path is the path that God laid down for the children of Israel that had one purpose, to glorify God. Then he says, not just seek and ask for the old path, ask where is the good way? Where's the good way? Lord, help me to find the good way to walk. Help me to walk that path that you have set before. It says, and then walk therein. So ask the right questions, seek the right path, and then when you find it, walk in there. And the result, he says, and you shall find rest for your souls. I got to be honest, I wish I would have preached this message at the beginning of last year. Because I think maybe even every month since the beginning of last year. Because the fact is, information has been so overwhelming in 2020 that I think that we have, perhaps as Christians, some of us have just forsaken the right path. We know the right path, maybe even, but we didn't think it was the good way. And so we stopped. We've got on a different path. Doesn't mean that our purpose has changed. We still want to glorify God in our hearts. That's our motivation. But we're just not getting there. And I believe at the beginning of a new year, really at the end of an old year, I think it's a perfect time to say, you know, Lord, I want to just assess my life spiritually. And I don't want to be in the same position in my faith. I don't want to be in the same position spiritually in my maturity as I was at the beginning of this last year. I want to take it to a new level this year. I want to know you more. I want to deepen my commitment to you. I want all of my roles, in every one of my roles, in every day, in every one of my roles, in everything that I do, whether it's eating or drinking or any role that I have to fulfill, I want it to be for your glory. I want people to look at my life and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. I want them to look at my life as a husband, as a father, as a boss, as a coworker, as a neighbor, as a church member. I want them to look at my life and say, that is what glorifies God, and I want to be a part of that. You see, a wise Christian will look back and say, wow, I got a little off the path here, and I didn't even take the right path there, and be able to say, you know, Lord, I want to bring that full circle, and I want to make some course adjustments. Let's do that tonight, and let's start the new year on the right path with the right destination to the glory of God. Let's pray together tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for another day of life. We thank you for another day in a long line of days in 2020. And Lord, we just want to praise and glorify you for the day that we find ourselves. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us now going forward. And I pray that perhaps as we take just a little bit of time and put some pondering to our path, that we would look and be able to tell what our purpose was for living, what it is for living. The paths that we're on, do they lead to that destination? And Lord, I pray that we would make the right course adjustments that would bring you the most honor. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the privilege of your mercy, so that when we do come short of your glory, Lord, that we have forgiveness. We have new mercies each and every day, and we can reset that button. And Lord, we have another opportunity, even this night, to glorify you. May we do so to the pleasing of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know and believe with all of our heart that you always lead us in the paths of righteousness, and we know you do it for your name's sake. So we pray that you would help us to live for that name, the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that name we pray and ask all these things. Amen.